Welcome to the Baseball America Podcast. Baseball America, bringing you baseball news you can't get anywhere else for more than 35 years. Now it's time to talk baseball.
Welcome everyone to a Baseball America Podcast. I'm John Manuel along with JJ Cooper and Kyle Glazer. Thanks for tuning in. Our podcasts and our Facebook Lives are all sponsored by Baseballism. Baseballism is the official off-the-field brand of baseball, offering apparel for men, women, and children. Shop Baseballism.com to receive 20% off. At Baseballism.com, enter the code BA2017 and get 20% off your order. So we thank Baseballism for their sponsorship all spring of the Baseball America Podcast. And guys, we thought we'd do this earlier, but the trades kept on coming even after the 4 o'clock trade deadline. So first off, thanks to you guys and also Josh Norris and Vince Lara for all your hard work on this trade deadline. And it was an active one. Why don't you guys pick from the three choices? I'll give you multiple choice. What was the most significant happening of the day? Was it Yu Darvish to the Dodgers for three players back to the Rangers? Was it the Houston Astros not making a trade? Or was it the New York Yankees consummating the long-rumored Sonny Gray deal getting in from Oakland?
Yu Darvish, by a long shot for me. This is a situation where the Dodgers really did need to add a power right-hander to mix into that rotation, turn lineups around, and also help get them through the end of the regular season. Everyone's talking about, oh, the postseason. People forget, by the time they got to game three or four of the NLDS last year, they were out of starting pitchers. Guys were hurt, guys were on innings limits. This is a team right now, McCarthy's back on the DL. Rich Hill, we all know he's going to go on the DL at any point. He's a risk.
He is 37.
Scott Kazmir is on the DL. Alex Wood, as good as he's been, has some health issues.
At some point, you think he might turn back into a pumpkin.
It's possible. I mean, and Darvish is a Tommy John guy, 2015, so there's never any guarantees. But this guy, he's durable. He's still striking guys out. You know, when I was writing up the trade, I realized his strikeout rate is down, his walk rate is up, his hits per nine rate is up, and it's still all top 10 in the American League. And now he's going to go to Dodger Stadium from Texas, where he's going to get a whole lot more help from the conditions pitching-wise. To me, this is the most impactful move made by the best team in baseball to help them. It's not just about Yu Darvish, what he's going to do from the postseason. It's for that entire rotation, keeping guys, you know, not having to potentially risk, oh, crud, three more guys are hurt. We're down to Clayton Kershaw, Kenley Jansen, and maybe one of Rich Hill / Scott Kazmir in the postseason. No, you actually have more depth now, which you're going to need with this older rotation with a lot of injury issues.
You can't ever have enough starting pitching. And JJ, I guess I really hadn't thought about it, just how left-leaning the Dodgers pitching staff is, especially the guys who are pitching healthy right now without Kershaw. They're pretty much all left-handers with the exception of Kenta Maeda. So a right-hander like Darvish really fits in very well.
No, he does. And the reality is that's the only – I did see – I think there was almost an overreaction at the deadline because you had the three trades come in, Tony Wonson, Tony Cingarani, and then Darvish. Obviously, Darvish is huge. I wouldn't be stunned. I think Watson will make the postseason roster, but he'll pitch in very low-leverage situations unless he's better than he's been so far. And I wouldn't be stunned at all if Cingarani didn't make the postseason roster.
So, right. If he makes the postseason roster, it might be a shocker, frankly.
So, I do feel like that the Dodgers made one big trade today and then two moves. I don't mind them making them. Hey, maybe Cingarani's better. Maybe Watson's better. You never know if you might catch lightning in a bottle. But it was one massive move and then the two very minor moves.
Their bullpen right now is in this interesting state where you've got Kenley Jansen, who's, you know, on a pedestal.
And will pitch
All the time
for multiple innings.
But this is still the best bullpen in the National League, and I think part of it is Grant Dayton going down. That's a value, you know, a good left-hander. He's got a
that was by
him.
Far their – he and Luis Avalon are by the only two lefties they've really used
at
all.
Right, so now with Dayton getting hurt, I believe it's a neck injury, you can bring in a Tony Watson. It's more depth. It helps.
But the thing we just talked about is how left-handed their starting rotation is. The other thing is by adding a Darvish, you do not know. I mean, okay, Kershaw is going to be in the rotation if he's
yes.
healthy. Wood is going to be in the rotation if he's healthy. If Darvish is healthy, then you do have some other options where you say, okay, mix and match. You know, maybe a Kazmir, maybe a Rich Hill. You know, someone.
I didn't
right
even know
now,
Kazmir
right
was
now
ever
it's
an
Hill.
Option.
I mean, Kazmir is. I mean, that's the thing is, you talk about what does Yu Darvish do? It's not just him replacing, you know, who would be the number two. He's bumping out who would be your game four starter potentially in the NLCS. All of a sudden, you're in a lot better shape when you can go Kershaw, Darvish, Wood, Hill than when it was Kershaw, Wood, Hill, pick one of Kazmir, McCarthy, Ryu, whoever's healthy.
Yeah, I don't think Kazmir was ever an option there. I mean, Kenta Maeda, Hyunjin Yu. Hyunjin Yu is at his best is better than Scott Kazmir. He picks his teeth with Scott Kazmir.
But again, injury issues. It's just something where...
Yeah, he's the one who's actually pitching right now. But the X factors for me are these other relief pitchers for them. Pedro Baez, and then how about the carcass? Not carcass, but the name from the past, Brandon Morrow. He's coming out of their bullpen, throwing a hundo. I mean, that guy was a number three overall pick.
He's supposed to have been in 10 years ago. It finally happened.
It is. It's just so crazy to me how the draft is just so... It's such a fascinating endeavor. A, this is why you take position players at the top of the draft. 2006, Evan Longoria was the third pick of that draft. But number one pick of the draft, Luke Cochaver, the only success he had in big leagues was as a reliever. Number two pick of the draft, I'm already blanking.
Was that
Brad
Reynolds?
Lincoln? I think. Oh, it was Greg Reynolds. Never had much success. But Andrew Miller, who was the top ranked player in that draft. Lincecum, who's done. Brandon Morrow, who was the third pick of that draft. I mean, third or fourth pick. It's just such a crazy draft, how these guys' histories have gone. And Brandon Morrow, you know, he had like a game score of like around 100 for that one hitter with 17 strikeouts he threw for the Blue Jays that one year.
He'd show you some
flashes. He'd flash it, and he's flashing it now. If that guy is healthy for the Dodgers, I don't know if he's Hunter Strickland in a Dodger uniform or what, but I just got an email from a former long time ago, before either of you guys were around, Baseball America intern Matt Bowers, who works at the University of North Carolina. And he sends me this email every year at the draft, at the trade deadline. What did we give up about the Dodgers? And he just like, it's been a long, all caps, lots of O's, 30 years. I think this is also, I think it's a contrast between the Dodgers and the Astros. These are two very analytically inclined organizations, very smart and by far the best records in their two leagues. Neither team has desperation for this year, but a little desperation to win. The Astros have never won a World Series. And the Dodgers, you know, the prices came down, according to Jeff Luno when he told the Houston media, but the prices were very high early. I think we're thinking of the Jose Quintana deal. The prices came down, but the Dodgers able to get a guy in Yu Darvish, the Yankees able to get a guy in Sonny Gray. The Astros could have used either of those guys, JJ. They weren't able to make a deal either for a significant reliever. I know they did get a reliever. Or for a significant starting pitcher. So
I think what I was going to answer was is that to me the significance now, it's not done yet because
there's still a non-waiver deadline.
There's still a non-waiver deadline, and you still could get a...
Jolies Chacin.
That's spoken like a true Angels fan.
He's a Padre right now.
Justin Verlander and his $28 million could certainly skate through.
So it's not something where you say there is no hope, but it is surprising to me because he says the prices are high. The part of the Astros team to me, the lineup, no need to really tinker.
I would say beyond reproach.
That's a well-constructed lineup. But you assume Correa will be healthy, all that, they're fine. You do not need Derek Fisher. They've actually upgraded because I do think that Derek Fisher is greater than Aoki. You know,
I'm with you on that one. Yes.
So they've upgraded there.
But here's
the starting rotation, could you use someone? But when you get to the bullpen...
Here's their rotation, JJ, for the next 5 days with Lance McCullers Jr.
on the DL.
Charlie Morton, Mike Fiers, Dallas Keuchel, Colin McHugh, Brad Peacock. I mean, I'm sorry. I know those guys, other than Keuchel, all have had their moments. But I would take like the Dodgers' fifth or sixth starter over their number two in a lot of those cases.
And it's fair. I do think it's something where I wonder if, just because of interdivision stuff, the Rangers were going to have a higher price tag to the Astros and Darvish than the
Dodgers.
Darvish
is not. Darvish is, but you do say, like, Sonny Gray,
the guy who
interdivision.
I thought Lance Lynn was going to be the guy. I understand the mission control, all those issues. But at bottom, this is Mo and Jeff Luno. These two guys know each other. They go way back. The Cardinals are kind of out of it. Jeff Luno drafted Lance Lynn. Lance Lynn is fully back from his Tommy John. He looks good. And Lance Lynn's been money in the postseason a lot for the Cardinals. Not all the time, but he's not going to be awed by the moment. He is how he even put himself the other day. It's part of his arrogance. You know, he's got necessary arrogance. I kind of like that guy. I was totally wrong about Lance Lynn as an amateur. I thought he was soft. He's the opposite of it. He would have fit perfectly for the Astros. I'm a little bit surprised the Astros didn't make a move, JJ, but we don't know what the potential price was.
But the other thing is that when you say the price was high, for that front rotation starter.
Yeah.
The price for relievers is dirt cheap.
It's everything must go.
It is
rental relievers. We're on the sale clearance
Watson,
rack.
David Hernandez
or Justin Wilson.
Addison Reed today. Like
yeah,
the Astros have enough prospect depth that they could have made an equivalent offer on Addison Reed, and it would not have really hindered them in any way going forward.
They have a lot of prospect depth. They did not parlay it today. The Verlander thing, though, that's got the wheels moving in my head. That would be a trade that would make sense in my mind.
I will say, this is also, though, does fit. The Astros' MO is
$28
million. They're never worrying about winning the day. It's all about, you know, the long-term process and all that. But to me, when you are that close, and when we've seen that the costs to make, yes, not major, but minor upgrades is essentially nothing.
Right.
You know, that to me, I'm surprised they did not do that. Francisco Liriano, you know, Teoscar Hernandez, considering the price of relievers, Teoscar Hernandez
was a high price.
Was a high price, especially when you consider that what Liriano's making. I mean, these other guys that we're talking about, those deals are something where you're picking up much smaller contracts than what I kind of was a little surprised by the cost of Liriano, considering how much he's already made.
They paid more for Liriano than the Red Sox had to pay for Addison Reed, which is surprising to me.
Yeah, because Francisco Liriano last year, like, the Pirates had to, like, put in two quote-unquote prospects, and Reese McGuire and I forget
Harold
the...
Harold Ramirez.
Harold Ramirez, both of whom received very negative reviews when I did the midseason update for the Jays this year.
And Drew Hutchinson still holding AAA. He's
right.
Not, you know, he's
right.
Not big.
And so Liriano, and he had a little hot streak. He's hot and cold. He's always been.
He was a playoff pitcher for the Blue Jays.
For the Blue Jays. And he's not even slated to start for Houston. They're talking about him as a relief pitcher
Which
only.
Which actually, that is creative thinking.
Yeah.
In that I think he has a chance. If he buys in, he could be really good in that role.
So
because he has the stuff to do that.
So I said I felt like the Dodgers was the biggest storyline. Seems like JJ, you're thinking on a little more. The Astros not making was the biggest storyline. John, are you biting on the Yankees and Gray, or do you think
no,
the other two are bigger?
No, I think the Astros one was bigger because, to me, I thought the Astros would come into the year with Chris Davinsky as one of their starters, but he's been so valuable in the bullpen, they can't do it. So the Astros have kind of turned into like this college team in a way where, like, do I use Davinsky three or four times in a playoff series in relief, or do I use him twice as a starter? And I think they've chosen, use him in relief. They're keeping him in relief. And he's so valuable. I mean, it's so cool. The changeup of death has become this big league, like, ultimate weapon.
The circle of death.
Well, he was changeup of death when he was the AAA championship game. But, it's a deathly changeup. And he's such a great story, and he was a neat dude, and I'm happy for his success. But he's vital. He's, like, the third most important pitcher on that team right now. If not second, I do agree with Tom Verducci. And obviously, he didn't tweet this because he doesn't tweet, but he was on MLB Network today and someone else tweeted it for him. Dallas Keuchel is like the most important pitcher in baseball right now. Maybe the single most important player in baseball. If he's not healthy, you can't even see the Astros winning one playoff series, at the mention three. They certainly could because their offense is really good. You're right.
Beat you over the head. Yeah.
10 to 8 games.
And again, Davinsky.
That take 4.5 hours.
And Davinsky throws, something like 15 innings out of the pen.
There's no question. I think we can all agree. The Astros did not make significant improvements. The Dodgers did. I think the Yankees did. I will say, the Dodgers Darvish deal. Give up one really good prospect, and it works for them. He's going to go hit. And two other guys, there's something there. Now, are they studs? No, but there's something there. I look at the Yankees deal.
It's A.J. Alexi and Brandon Davis, correct? So Brandon Davis on their Lakewood High guy.
Yeah.
So should I bag on Lakewood High? All the Phillies fans think I hate J.P. Crawford. Nah. So, I like Brandon Davis. I like him as a long-term play because he's going to be one of these guys who's going to be a totally different guy, you hope. Now that he was when he was drafted out of high school, because it's long leverage, it's power, it's not, right. Like, he's not a future shortstop for me. AJ Alexi sounds interesting, JJ.
No, he's one of the better pitching prospects in the Dodgers organization. Now, when you say one of the better, it is.
They have options.
You have Buehler and all at the top, then you have a drop, and then you have a drop, and Alexi's in. Alexi is a promising low A pitcher.
Which, as we've learned, is a really poor demographic for trades.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Like, again, even worse than you think it is.
One of the things that you have to remember in all this is that the moment...
That might be my car. That was JJ's. Awesome.
Well, what am I?
We don't know whose car that was. But I don't think our podcast ever has been interrupted by a car.
But no, the point being is that once you get out of the top 100 prospects, like a guy who's a top 100 prospect,
yeah,
the failure rate is very high. And when we're talking about these deals, really what you're talking about is Willie Calhoun, back of the 100, but top 100 prospect, can really hit, doesn't have much of a position.
Perfect for the American League. Make him your DH right now.
Yes.
Which, by the way, I do believe will make him the shortest. If he becomes an everyday DH, he'll be the shortest everyday DH.
I would imagine so. I mean, he would be the shortest Ryan just Downing, about anything. Isn't he 5'7"?
5'8". Listed 5'8".
He's small.
Which, again, limits him position-wise. He can't play first base because no one ever has played a 5'8" first baseman. So you got that. And then you have in the Yankees trade, you have the A's getting guys who are not, I would say, current top hundreds, but there are circumstances that are part of that.
There's a sheen of top hundred-y around both Dustin Fowler and James Caprillion.
And Jorge Mateo.
And then Jorge Mateo is a former top 100 guy.
He was a preseason top 100 guy. So you have all that there, but the thing that jumps out to me about Mateo, and I do feel like, I don't want to personalize it too much, but that Mateo is the guy that Yankees fans have wanted to trade.
Right.
That's like they want. That is the guy when you see all these fans propose trades, and they always propose them. Like,
Mateo, right. Blank and blank.
And the reason they're doing
that, but they think Mateo is the number one. And we talked about this on our podcast. If you're going to trade Mateo, he's not going to be your number one prospect in the deal. He's got to be your three,
and he
is the three in this deal.
But
that's
the thing
right.
I would say is about that is if we were talking about Jorge Mateo on June 15th, and suggested in any way that Jorge Mateo would be a key part of a trade like this, we would have laughed about it. Because my point of that is it's been a great month he's had in AA.
Right.
A great month.
The previous year and a half.
That does not wipe away the fact that if you go from April 1st, 2016 to June 30th, 2017, you would have a player who has produced at a pretty mediocre level in high A.
Not to mention a suspension for attitude issues.
Yes.
I think for me, you're going to laugh. When I look at this deal, Mateo's almost like, yeah, whatever to me. To me, what's fascinating is the Fowler-Caprillion aspect. Two guys we know are talented, have the stuff.
Yep.
It's serious injuries. You know, Caprillion, Tommy John, people assume way too frequently, oh, Tommy John's, you know, everyone comes back from it. No, they don't.
Right.
You just pay attention to the success stories that do. You know, and
John Lamb says,
Brady Aiken says, Max Fried says,
many of them say.
So I think for me, you know, I gotta be honest. I'm wondering what the A's are doing a little bit in the sense that with Sonny Gray, yes, there's health issues, but he's young. You still control him. If all you can do is two serious injury lottery tickets and a third guy that may not actually be very good, I'd rather keep him and build around him or hold him until the winter, where we've seen better deals come up again and again and again.
That was a surprising part, is that the Athletics really got that Jorge Mateo is the best now return they got on Sonny Gray, because Dustin Fowler and James Caprillion are both iffy. So I actually think in some ways, even though Darvish is a rental, I agree with you, JJ, Darvish is a rental, Gray has a year plus of control. Now, it sounds like Gray's not throwing the curveball as often, but the changeup has really come on for him. But it almost feels like the Dodgers gave up more and the Rangers got more for Darvish from LA than the Yankees gave up from Oakland. It really does feel like Brian Cashman, 18 years into it or 20 years into it, has got the hang of this the last couple of years, selling and then trading the prospects. He hasn't really given up. He's protected his core guys,
which is
while
how you do it.
Adding guys. It's been kind of a master class.
Right. When it's all said and done, they have vastly improved their big league club this year. And they have done it while holding on to not just Clint Frazier, who's had a great start, you know, so far in the big league level, but Florial as well. You know, they traded away Rutherford, but again, having Florial means trading away Rutherford is something that you can handle. And then you look at this deal and you say, there was no one involved in this deal who the Yankees were depending on in 2017,
right,
or 2018,
right,
or really 2019, because Jorge Mateo does not really fit in the Yankees' long-term plans.
To me, he's a, again, I made this comp earlier, it's a little bit different tool, but it's a very similar, like, Eduardo Nunez kind of career path. Eduardo Nunez blew up, I think it was actually in short season ball, wound up becoming an everyday third baseman, which is really weird, but still as a versatile, and he was one of these guys who was traded for prospects this weekend as well to the Red Sox to kind of become their everyday third baseman. Maybe, we'll see. Eduardo Nunez versus Rafael Devers, we'll see how that... Nice, we'll see how that goes. But to me, Eduardo Nunez wound up being an all-star as an everyday player, which was, again, stunning. But it was like 9 years after he first emerged as a prospect. I think Mateo winds up being a multi-positional guy who in his best year might be a good second division regular, but I think he's really his best value is as a, you know, not as an everyday player, as a multi-positional guy. And I'm not sure if I'm Oakland... If I'm an A's fan, how do they still have fans?
And look, we need to be blunt, right? The Oakland Athletics, the trades that they have made at the professional at the major league level for the past 3 years now have been at best questionable, at worst, what were you thinking?
Yeah, there hasn't been one that you look back on and say this worked to make them better short term when they were a playoff team in 2014 and 13, and since then to help their rebuild. So now they're in a total teardown. And I don't know that this is... And this could work, but it just seems strange that they didn't get...
If they recover from injuries, great. But again, it comes down to... We've seen this again and again and again. But relying on, he'll be back from this major surgery is generally... If it happens, great. Assuming it will happen is a mistake.
Right. This is basically... They... To use a blackjack now, they split, and then they split again, and we're going, if this works out, it's really going to pay off. But the reality is Dustin Fowler, one of the things that made Dustin Fowler who he was is his athleticism.
Right.
And you do worry, that's a pretty serious injury that he's coming back from.
Correct. I mean, he was not a guy with true pluses. It's all 55s. Maybe he was getting to a plus. I don't know if a scout would give him a plus hit or not, because he hit for average. He never drew a lot of walks, but that doesn't seem like it gets factored into the hit grade. But as far as a productive player, I thought of him as a guy who has a lot of 55s, not a true plus, and a knee injury like that could be significant
and
could knock him down a little bit.
And Caprillion, I know he's pitched in the AFL, but Caprillion has thrown less than 30 pro innings. Now, those
right.
30
besides
innings,
the fall league.
Those 29 innings have been really good at times, but... This is over three seasons.
Right.
This is something where you do not have a track record of, his durability in college was fine. But
I was going to ask you, does he fall into the Dylan Bundy, Jameson Taillon bucket of where JJ says, we need to give it, you can't write off these guys who missed 2 years. Like Max Fried missed 2 years, came back very well last year, has been poor this year. Where does Caprillion fall in that continuum for you guys?
I mean, you're going to have to wait on him. And the other thing with Bundy that people forget is he had to reinvent himself. He used to throw 100. Now he averages 92, touches 95, was able to kind of reinvent, okay, this is how I
he
can be successful.
He throws a lot of sliders.
Right.
A lot.
And so coming into it and expecting this guy will come back with the exact same stuff, again, you can hope it. Going in with the assumption is a mistake.
I'm sure the A's aren't assuming he's going to come back with the exact same stuff. But, I mean, like, if they must have evaluated Yankees pitching prospects and thought this was the one that was most attractive that they could get.
Right. And
I'm a little bit surprised the Yankees gave him up in a way, because the way they talked him up pre-injury. They do have pitching depth.
But again, now this is what this does, though, is with Gray under control, all of a sudden, the Yankees, who a couple of years ago, you looked at their rotation and he said, who's going to be in this rotation in a couple
right.
of years?
Now, at least Gray and Severino are two youngish Montgomery. Building blocks. And Jordan Montgomery's the third guy.
Adams is coming.
Yeah, so they have a now. And you don't have all the eggs aren't in the Tanaka basket, which right. they were a couple of years ago.
Let me ask you also with that. I brought up
wonder what's
Adams.
In the Tanaka basket.
You brought up Chance Adams. Clearly, I think we can safely say you would rather, if you're the A's, have had Florial to Fowler. You know, I think because you would take, I know he's further away.
Probably, yes.
But you take the
upside.
Guy, the upside and the healthy guy.
The upside play and the guy who can walk.
Chance Adams versus Kaprielian.
I'm taking Chance Adams.
I'm taking Chance Adams. The health. I mean, that's what I'm saying is that.
Should I go all full ABBA and take a chance?
No, please don't. But look, overall, I think we'd agree. The Yankees have done well for themselves. They added a frontline arm.
How about this master stroke? Just a little thrown in there. Oh, we need 40-man space? Hey, Baltimore, you got any international bonus money?
The answer to that is always yes.
How much do you need? We'll take your Jeffrey Ramirez off your hands for international bonus money that we'll never use. I mean, it's just...
Which, by the way...
It's unbelievable.
But do say this for the Orioles. This is great for them in some way, in that I'm not saying that they should do this, because I would recommend that you spend money internationally, not $260,000, which is what they spent last year.
And don't forget, that said, I think it's Ofelky Peralta, who still has the Dominican signing bonus record for the Orioles at $350,000. That's the record. They could stay in the penalty box and spend what they normally spend.
But that being said, at least now, because before the CBA came along and all, and you could trade international space, the Orioles used to not spend any money internationally, and all they could do is say, we don't spend any money internationally.
Yes.
Now,
are there any Koreans that we can launder some money through?
Now they can trade $250,000 trucks here and there and there and there and there.
It's amazing. I also love looking at Oakland, to go back to them. This is a really, I don't see where the future is here.
No, that's the real issue I have here, really bad shape. And there's no way around it.
You've made your opinions very clear on that. So, I mean, like, but they don't even have, like, building blocks. I mean, they've traded Sean. I mean, they weren't going to be good this year. They traded Sean Doolittle. They traded Sonny Gray. I'm a little surprised they still have Yonder Alonso. Like, what's the point? Or Chris Davis? If you're going to tear it down, burn that MF-er down, you know?
The crazy thing that has happened is no... When we're talking about today's trade deadline, no significant bat.
There were two hitters traded today. The hitters who've been traded cleared the decks. Let's get the hitters out of the way. We'll send the pitchers for the deadline. That was really remarkable.
Best haul that someone got for a bat in this trade deadline?
Do you prefer the Melky Cabrera haul to the J.D. Martinez haul?
I'll take the J.D. Martinez. Dawell Lugo over A.J. Puckett. But if Dawell Lugo...
Wow.
Is the best prospect that changes hands. I like how you said it. Like, I mean, you look at the Duda trade.
That Duda guy.
To me, that is the best trade of the trade deadline from the perspective of what team added impact to their big league roster without giving up anything that could possibly hurt them.
You don't think Drew Smith's going to come back to bite them?
No. Okay, if Drew Smith comes in...
How about Tim Beckham getting traded? The Rays made... Great moves, I thought. They were around the margins.
And this is my point. Everyone today is going to be talking about the Dodgers. Everyone's going to talk about the Yankees. Everyone's going to be talking about what the Astros didn't do or what the A's didn't do, and that's all fine. Those are the headliners. To me, from July 1 to July 31, the playoff contenders in all of baseball that made the most of the trade deadline and got better were the Tampa Bay Rays 1 and the Kansas City Royals 2.
I love the Royals deal, JJ, because... If you're going to be all in, again, we talked about it in the offseason, like with the Marlins, if you don't have prospects, just trade the ones you have, although I wonder if they're going to regret Luis Castillo, who shoved it up their tail fin last night for 8 innings at 98 against the guy that he was traded for, Dan Straley, who I'm just shocked that he's still a Marlin. Why is he still a Marlin?
Let's just be clear. The Marlins, nothing could happen better for... The Marlin fan out there. There may be two. I know there's Marlin Man. I don't know if there's another. But
there's substitute Marlin Man.
But nothing could go better than once this sale happens. Because you are talking about an organization, a team that I feel like is kind of stuck in some sort of
stuck in the
stasis.
Middle. That's for sure.
But you do look at it like, no, the Royals are going for it. And this is the perfect year to go for it. If your choices are go for it and you're going to give up, because A.J. Puckett, Andre Davis.
Not game changers.
Well, look, let's the Royals added a perfectly good starting pitcher, Trevor Cahill. Two impact bullpen guys in Brandon Maurer and Ryan Buchner. Now, Maurer's had some struggles this year, but he's picked it up recently. A left field upgrade in Melky Cabrera.
Upgrade.
All four of all the guys we named, for essentially, they gave up an overpaid guy in Travis Wood.
Although they're paying salary.
An injury, an injured guy in Matt Strom.
Oh, well, like, you know.
Him, but he's not pitching.
And Brackish Ruiz.
who might end up working Estuary out, Ruiz, but it will be five years.
We mispronounced his name as Estuary Ruiz. So.
6 years. So you have added four significant major upgrades to your team, and you have given up, injured guy, overpaid guy, rookie ball guy. They gave up less
back
than
the rotation guy at best, AJ Puckett.
They gave up less and gained more than any team in baseball, aside from maybe the Rays.
I got to throw one other in there, though, is that the Diamondbacks, which the Diamondbacks don't have a great farm system, but
right.
When we talk about how cheap bats are, J.D. Martinez...
was cheap.
J.D. Martinez, they acquired J.D. Martinez for a very modest cost, and J.D. Martinez is the best bat that was traded. I mean, I don't think there's any...
Yeah, him or Melky.
I don't think it's close there. I think that J.D. Martinez is vastly superior to Melky Cabrera. J.D. Martinez is a .550 slugger for his entire Detroit career. Like, yeah. I mean, it's not like a year.
It now goes to Arizona where the ball flies.
Right, but he's also like a low average guy, and he's not around Miguel Cabrera every day. And Miguel Cabrera rubbed off on that
he'll
guy in a big way.
We'll have Paul Goldschmidt with him and AJ Pollock.
We'll just see.
He's not going to be lacking for lineup.
I like J.D. Martinez.
He's twelve hits or something.
Yeah, like that's it. And they have like 12 hits. he'll be fine. He can really, really hit. I like J.D. Martinez, I do like Melky Cabrera. I mean, he fits unfortunately, exactly what the Royals need. Is what Alex Gordon used to be, but he's now the ghost of Alex Gordon, apparently, who's like really good at blowing bubbles when he dives for catches in foul territory, but he can't hit anymore. It's inexplicable that he's just totally fallen apart. I mean, what happened? Has anyone written, I haven't seen this, has anyone written why this guy became a sub-600 OPS guy?
Guys.
The moment he signed his big contract? I don't think it's because Alex Gordon doesn't care anymore. He's obviously cares, but...
Guys get old and skills deteriorate.
But
for different people.
But he didn't
at different
deteriorate.
Ages.
He just fell off the map.
That's
the thing. They have to bench Alex Gordon, in my mind, because Jorge Bonifacio has been nice in right field for them.
No, that's you're gonna have to platoon something here. There's no Gordon goes on the bench and you figure everyone else out.
That's gonna be tough. I like the Milkman for their fit. Their line drive bat. That's just how they're constructed. It's like relentless lineup, and then there's. Alcides Escobar, but he'll burn you in the playoffs. The Royals made all these moves. The Indians didn't. Joe Smith to help their bullpen. Are you guys surprised that Cleveland didn't make any other upgrades?
You know, their team, I think a lot of their upgrades have come from within. I mean, what Bradley Zimmer has done for them in center field is more
impactful. He's the new Tyler Naquin.
That's more impactful than anything that was out there on the trade
market.
Look
at you using impactful all the time. I'm impressed. Way to go.
Andy Green rubbed off on me. What can I say? Actually, he was more impact the ball. I'm using the word impactful. I'm changing the way I'm using it. But no, it's something where I think that the Indians, and you look at it again, the Indians have the best bullpen in the American League. Their rotation, you know, is they're really starting around to form. They're playing their best ball. That's a team I can look at and say, was there a giant hole there? I think it's just some of their guys need to start playing better, and they have.
Right.
And I think for them, I'm not of all the teams I look at and say, man, they really should have done something more, they're not really on my radar. A good team that's getting better.
But what about, another one that's interesting to me is the Brewers from the standpoint of, at this time last year, the Brewers were still in full sell mode. This selling at the right time.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to trade LaCroix to the Indians for Francisco Mejia, Greg Allen, Yu-Chang Chang. Man, this is a great deal.
Right.
Oh, it's turned down.
Blocked.
Okay. Turn around. Okay, we're going to trade them to the Rangers with Jeremy Jeffress for Lewis Brinson and Luis Ortiz and Ryan Cordell. And now you sit here.
On the left firm, Cordell and Cordell.
1 year later, you see Lucroy traded by the Rangers, who's basically the value of Lucroy fell off the table after.
Yeah, that was.
That was basically.
His stock fell faster than Anthony Scaramucci's.
But so you have that, and then you have. The Brewers get Jeffress back in a deal where they trade a double-A reliever who's walking 5 for 9,
right.
Who has been an indie ball, and who is generally...
Taylor Scott. Scott, right?
A nice word player. So basically, they sold at the perfect time.
Absolutely.
And then...
got a great return for it, because Brinson's playing everyday center field for them right now,
right.
And looking bounce.
I mean, like, you would not trade Lewis Brinson straight up for everyone else in that field. Yeah, right,
exactly.
Now. And that's, but I'm saying, talk about doing this the right way. And then now they're here.
And they slipped Cordell for Anthony Swarzak with a nice middle relief piece. So they haven't totally conceded the NL Central to the Cubs yet.
No, they're doing
some
good things. I think one of the things with the Brewers that made it tricky, because you remember everyone was saw, oh, they're going to be a contender for Gray, yada, yada. One of the things that made it tricky is a lot of their big prospects have really not performed and are not looking that good. So Brinson, yes, but you want him in the big leagues.
And Hader great in the
Hader,
bullpen.
Yes. But in the bullpen. Right now, you need him in the big leagues. You know, Luis Ortiz has done great in Double A, but you're not going to move him because he's your number one starting prospect.
And you've seen a lot of Carolina.
So then you go, Corey Ray, Lucas Ursig, Trent Clark, Jake Gatewood, Monty Harrison. And look, Gatewood's done some good things. Monty Harrison's actually had a nice season, got promoted, finally staying healthy. But the way that Clark and Ray and Diaz are performing, that's not going to get you Sonny Gray. And I think that's part of it. The Brewers made the calculation. You know,
they would have been buying low with their prospects were not really at a point where they were able to sell.
So the real problem, they have the prospects to do it, but the problem is that you'd be trading the guys that you don't want to trade. And the reality is I think the Brewers did a smart thing here in that they're in it, and they've made moves because they're in it, but they've done nothing here. They are well aware they're ahead of schedule.
Right.
They didn't blow it up.
It would have been very interesting to see if the Brewers were out of it, would Ryan Braun been one of the big bats traded this time of year? But of course, maybe, and that might have been part of their plan coming into this year, but they're so far ahead of schedule. I mean, they've been contending all year, been in first place most of the year. Anything that the Nationals did that they got Brandon Kitzler late, correct? And they already had Sean Doolittle, and they had Ryan Madsen. Suddenly they have three guys who've closed out games. I'm not sure that any of those guys is the guy, because Sean Doolittle has had multiple injuries, hasn't been great this year. Kinsler was an all-star, but he's really more of like your eighth-inning guy. Ryan Madsen was a great guy 3 years ago. So, yeah, he usually has one good year, the next year not so good, gets hurt for 2 years, comes back.
3 years. Missed three full years.
Was it
12, 13, 14.
Let me ask you. Okay. Guys who are traded, would you rather have... Is there one of those guys you'd prefer to have the Addison Reed?
Yeah, I'd rather have Sean Doolittle than Addison Reed. Sean Doolittle at his best has been better than Addison Reed's been. But I'd rather have Addison Reed than Kinsler or Madsen. I agree with you there.
I mean, I think the Nats, they made some good moves. They did it without surrendering any of their big guys. You know, would have been nice for them to grab Addison Reed, yes. But again, you have to wonder, is there a premium price on them since it's interdivision?
Right. I'm just saying, like, there have been a lot of, would you rather them? I'm kind of surprised that they weren't the team out there that, say, made a deal for Brad Hand. I know Hand didn't get traded, but where you say, okay, I do worry, like, if I look at the Nationals, you say, okay, you clearly are inferior to the Dodgers. Doesn't mean you can't win a series, but you come into it knowing you're going to be the underdog. And you know...
Are they that clearly inferior?
Yes.
They're number one in the National League in runs scored.
The Dodgers,
it is a very potent lineup.
But
it's a better lineup than the Dodgers lineup. It's a better lineup.
I would disagree.
No. Not,
really?
Especially not with a lot of the guys, with some of the health issues you have right now. No way. The Dodgers right now are firing on all cylinders. You look, it's what, 11
right.
of the top 13
No
guys.
Way. But I'm not going to say no way. Not when the middle of this order, even with the Dodgers, I mean, they matched up in the playoffs last year. To beat the Nationals, you have to get through Daniel Murphy, the totally resuscitated Ryan Zimmerman.
Ryan Zimmerman is that flatlined again on the table. Check what he's done for the last 2 months.
I'll check what he's done. And you still have Bryce Harper and Anthony Rendon.
No,
you have four really, really good hitters.
But I'll also take who the Dodgers throwing out 7-8 and 1-2 over who the Nationals are. Especially, you know, it'd be different if it was Adam Eaton and Trey Turner were healthy.
Right, but Trey Turner's going to be healthy. He's gonna come back. He's going to be fine. He's Trey Turner. I have the utmost confidence in Trey Turner.
I will say,
I like the Nationals lineup pretty good. I'm not conceding that they're not even close to the Dodgers. They've been the best line offense in the National League all year.
They scored more runs, but you look at where the Dodgers park is, and that plays a part in that too. Like, if you look at it,
the Nationals don't play like in Wrigley Field with the wind blowing.
I think overall, though, we can agree that the Dodgers are a better team than the Nationals. And the
Nationals, I didn't say they aren't.
And so I think for them, you talk about Brad Hand. I mean, you know, I just got the conference call with AJ Preller for media, and you know, one of the things they talked about is, you know, I feel like he's making $1 million. It's 2.5 more years of team control. You look at what he's done, it's comparable to every elite left-hander in the game. You know, if the Nats weren't going to give up, pick your favorite of Juan Soto and Victor Robles, and you could argue they shouldn't have, it was pretty clear the right, and the Padres weren't going to move a guy for anything less than that, and that's their prerogative. So, again, you can talk about the Nationals wanting to, but again, what's
the cost? I would say they shouldn't have, though. The thing about it is that, and maybe I'm wrong here, maybe I'm being too aggressive about it. I look at the Nationals more than any of these other teams. The Dodgers, if you say the Dodgers do not look at this right now as a window, I can understand that. Because, as you know, they've got Kershaw locked up if he stays healthy. They've got Bellinger
locked out.
But they've got Seager, but also even if he opts out,
I just
like
don't see Brad Hand as a difference maker. That's all I'm saying. So that's why I wouldn't.
But my concern is when I look at the Nationals, is that, again, say you face the Dodgers in the playoffs. You just talked about it. The problem is that you get to the eighth inning in that series, and the Dodgers have a guy who you really feel like hopefully we're going to get this in the 10th, you know, if it's tied. Because Kenley Jansen's that
right.
And I do
not
feel like the Nationals.
It's not just Jansen. The Dodgers have the best bullpen in the National League. And it's
the Nationals' bullpen is a disaster. I'm not trying to. I completely understand that. You guys were just talking about the
right,
Astros.
I think it's gotten better.
But you guys were talking about the Astros lineup. Yes, it's gotten. They've improved their bullpen. And the Nationals are similar. They're not as perfectly built as the Astros' offense. But it's the National League's best offense. It just is. Okay, so Ryan Zimmerman doesn't have an 1100 OPS like he did, or 1300 in April. It's still 900, 790, and 750. He's not fallen off a cliff. He's come back to some reality, but he's not a useless player. This is, and we all know, as good as Clayton Kershaw is, if there was one other pitcher in Major League Baseball you'd want to go head to head with him, it'd be Max freaking Scherzer.
Absolutely.
And Gio Gonzalez. This team does not. The Dodgers are the best team. The Nationals don't take a back seat to anyone else in the National League, and in a short series, anything can happen. Now the problem is their bullpen is a hot mess. But they made it better.
I don't think
Brad Hand, I would not give up Soto or Robles. If you think those guys are first division regulars, which we do, I would not give up a first division regular for a guy who is not that Kenley Jansen kind of level. And who were the relievers out there who were at that level? They just weren't.
You could argue Zach Britton. But
that would be the argument.
That's a good argument.
And they're saying, we'll trade you Zach Britton, and you're going to have to fold in our Masson rights dispute.
And it sounded like the Astros were the team that made the hardest push on Zach Britton and weren't able to make that breakthrough, and that would have been a really interesting acquisition for anybody, but obviously for Houston.
So I've said that I feel like the Royals and Rays, who added five bullpen pieces and a first baseman with a 900 OPS who just went to Yankee Stadium and made the Yankees go, man, we really should have acquired you. But, you know, so to me, those are the two teams that I'm looking at out of this trade deadline. And I say, you know what? I think these teams that have added the most, and that's what the purpose of the trade deadline is. How about you guys? Who are the teams that stand out to you?
I'll just throw in the Yankees again, because I do think that Sonny Gray makes an awful lot of sense for them. And the Yankees being buyers bring so much energy to their fan base and probably their clubhouse. I just think as long as Gray doesn't fall apart physically, that's a big win for New York.
I agree with you, but I'm going to go for a different reason. I look at the Yankees, and the thing to me about this is we're talking about bullpens. The Yankees bullpen, I know Betances has been too wild, but the Yankees bullpen.
And Chapman's been a little iffy.
Right. But you look at the absolute number of arms that they can throw out there, and it is something where you get to playoff time, and we've seen it now. I mean, we've seen it. I think that's part of the reason you see so many of these bullpen arms get traded. One thing, they're cheap when they're rentals.
Yes.
But the other is that there are teams out there who'll do it with two or three because they'll basically just ride Andrew Miller and Cody Allen every night.
Right.
Hey, Brian Shaw.
Yeah, Brian Shaw. Yeah. I mean, those three-man.
Pitches a lot. He pitches a lot.
But there is something to be said for having this in just wave where you can
David Robertson, come on down. Tommy
Cahill,
come on down.
They come postseason with so many off days, they could say, if we get a good four from our starter, we're good.
Then they're going to bridge with two innings of Adam Warren. Underrated target.
And by the way, Tanaka's been really good his last few starts. I think it's a around a 3.5 ERA. His last one with 12 Ks.
He's still 9.5 strikeouts per nine and 2 walks per nine. I mean, the guy's really, really good.
Yeah,
he's given up a lot of home runs. is like, he's not going to give the honor to his torn UCL that it is trying to earn from him. I mean, this guy is, he's really fun to watch pitch with his 35% fastball usage. I mean,
so
he looks at Lance McCullers' curveball usage and says, ah! Who needs to use their fastball 41% of the time?
So we've all talked about American League teams. I think my overall
National League is pretty boring this year. It's the Dodgers and everybody else, and they're far better than everyone else, right?
So here's my question, though. Is there a team that you felt like missed an opportunity to really, really, really get better and just didn't? Because I look around, look, the Cubs did something. The Nats did a few things. The Dodgers did something.
The Cubs did two good things. Their trade with the Tigers, I thought, was a very smart trade.
Yeah.
Alex Avila is a nice reserve to have, so he can play first. He can play. He could be your backup catcher who's not under the age of 25, where both their catchers are. He is what you're thinking of for Zimmerman. He had 11 home runs in the first 2 months, and he hasn't hit a home run in a month and a half. And I think he hit 176 with no extra base hits in July. So it's not good for Avila, but he's for a backup catcher. And then Justin Wilson and Jose Quintana, those are two of the better guys you were going
to
find in this year's trade.
Nationals,
you're looking for a lefty reliever? Justin Wilson, I would take over Sean Doolittle, yes. That's a good call.
They could have made the trade. There was nothing that what the Cubs gave up that the Nationals would not have been able to make a trade to get Justin Wilson.
But that's possible. It would seem possible. And they've certainly had dealings with the Tigers. Those two organizations certainly scout each other. Hey, we'll take your Max Scherzer. You can sign Jordan Zimmerman as a free agent. And yeah, that ticks. That bomb's about to explode. That worked out very well for the Nationals. Maybe that's why Detroit didn't trade with the Washington Nationals. You took our Scherzer. You took our Zimmerman. Didn't work out for them.
I mean, I look around and I don't really see a team. We've talked about the Astros, but you could also argue, I don't see a team that we're looking and said, man, this team had a chance to get better, and they punted on it. I feel like most teams...
Well, the Red Sox.
But
Eduardo Nunez is your big pickup?
It's true.
Addison Reed, right.
I was going to say, the problem is that if you're the Red Sox, they do not have... If you see Rafael Devers as part of your current team...
Yes,
you don't have anything to offer.
Right. They could trade a Michael Chavis. They could trade a Jay Groom. But the reality is that... those are not the guys who are going to bring you the game changer. And if they don't have a game changer...
I just know Red Sox Twitter blew up all day over the Red Sox not making big moves and the Yankees getting Sonny Gray.
Oh, yes. Well, yes. That is the...
So that's the perception.
I hate to bring it to your Red Sox fans. You didn't have what it was going to take to do that.
They don't have anywhere near the Yankees farm system.
Ronnie Rodas and Brian Mata wasn't going to get it done.
But I do think it's amazing. Now we're sleeping on. We just haven't talked about him very much this podcast. The Cubs got the best starting pitcher in my mind who was traded was Quintana.
Especially with 3.5 years of control.
3.5 years of control. They gave up the best prospects of any of the prospects who were traded. And Eloy Jimenez, by far, was the best prospect traded. But they got. I think you could put Justin Wilson as the best reliever who was traded this month. He's up there. That guy's really good. Up to 98. Cutter, massive reverse split, for his career and this year, he annihilates right-hand hitters. He handles left-handers fine, but he annihilates right-hand hitters. Doesn't give up. Now, this year, he has been a little more susceptible to home runs. But you throw that guy, and then Avila was a good veteran. He basically is a good makeup Miguel Montero. Left-handed hitting catcher, past his prime, can handle pitchers, bilingual, and probably be okay coming off the bench. So, and he'll be much more gracious in the post game. Exactly.
I might get a ring.
Yes, they stole 7 more bases off me today. I will wear it.
One other team I want to just highlight real quick is someone who does something small on the margins without giving up much of anything, and I actually can help them, the Diamondbacks. Adam Rosales has actually been a lot better than people realize these last couple of years. Got to watch him up close with the Padres last year, and then this year he's done really well against lefties. He's actually been okay as a shortstop, and
they need a stopgap.
Right.
They gave
they
up nothing for him. They need a stopgap.
Right.
Chris Owings broke his finger.
Chris Owings, right middle finger fracture on that.
And Nick Ahmed's
Nick Ahmed's broken hand. Bereavement. I mean, this is, you talk about, it's not big. If it's a 2 weeks where instead of, oh, crud, we don't have a shortstop.
Right.
And that can affect you, especially when you're fighting for a second wild card spot. So I think for the Diamondbacks, I like that move. And I like David Hernandez, who the Angels picked him up for nothing. Has been really good. And again, they gave up a guy who's getting lit up in the Northwest League. So even if he becomes good, it's 4 years down the road, and not many people think he will become good. I mean, they gave up two non-prospects for two guys who will help them win games at the big league level.
And it's a smartly run organization right now, is what it is. No, so
Diamondbacks did something small, under-the-radar moves that made them a better team.
Certainly helps you be in that position when you're the guy who is making about 35% of your payroll has a good year as opposed to last year. But Zach Greinke being good, Paul Goldschmidt being Paul Goldschmidt, the rest of their team being fairly healthy, makes it where we can talk about them. And right now, them and the Rockies are five games up in the wild card in the National League over
it's them and everyone
the Brewers.
Else. I mean, again, the you even look at the rosters of talent on the Diamondbacks and Rockies. They're the most talented, I think, of the rest of those NL wildcard contenders, just looking at their lineups, looking at the players they have in their rotation bullpen. I mean, they're better players. I think they're in great shape.
Yeah, I agree. Well, this was a rollicking podcast. JJ's yawns per nine innings have skyrocketed. And I think we set a new record for crud references in this podcast. I think I prefer crap, but you're a crud guy, which I like. The crud, I always think of the crud as like when you're sick. You got the crud. So, but this might be a record for that reference. So, great stuff. Good podcast, guys. And we want to thank everybody for tuning in today. Today's podcast was sponsored by Baseballism. Visit baseballism.com for the best apparel in baseball. Enter the code BA2017 and receive 20% off your order. For JJ and for Kyle, I'm John. See you on the next Baseball America podcast. So long, everybody.
This concludes our program. Visit baseballamerica.com for more podcasts.